Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time. Today is the second week of our sacrament series. Sacraments, I want to remind you, are moments that are set aside and set apart, experiences that are intended to accomplish God's purpose of setting us free from anything that holds back or hinders us from living into the fullness of life that God created us to experience. Last week, we talked about baptism based on scripture from Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 42, where a crowd of people were gathered and were listening to Peter's sermon, and they were cut to the heart by what he said, and they asked, "What then should we do?" And Peter tells them, simply change your mind about who Jesus is. Take on the identity that he has given to you, and through baptism, become all that he created you to be, accepted by God, forgiven, and adopted as his children. Do that, and you will be gifted by the Holy Spirit, who will guide you, teach you, convict you, and enable you all, everyone, to live into God's purpose of life. And that promise, according to scripture last week, is for, again, everyone. Those that were listening and those who would listen, along with everyone in between. 3,000 that day were baptized and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Today will be baptism part two, and at the conclusion, you will actually get to view a couple of baptisms that took place earlier in this week. You are in for a very special blessing today. Before we get to that, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we do gather ready to be taught. We gather ready to be guided. We gather ready to be led into the places that you would have us to go. And yes, we gather even ready to be convicted of the ways that we fall short, the ways that we allow ourselves to be separated from you. As we open our minds, we ask you to walk into our hearts. May we receive all that you have for us this day. Amen. Hear now scripture from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11.
Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans. Today we will read from chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. In your pew Bibles, you can find this in the New Testament on page 146.
What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to Christ, to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Sacraments is a pretty heavy theological word that automatically closes some minds. In today's message, we'll focus on two additional religious words, justification and sanctification. But please, before you shut down and think that this is all just beyond anything that you can or want to understand, stay with me. I'm going to work really hard to try to simplify all this. And the good thing is I am an extremely simple person. So that really doesn't require a lot of effort for me, and hopefully there are those of you with us today that can appreciate that. What then can we say? What then are we to say? Paul is speaking to a crowd who says, well, if God gives us grace, then why do we need to change? In fact, the greater the sin, or the more that we sin, the bigger the sin, then doesn't that make God's grace even more valuable or worthwhile? And Paul's response is a passionate no. No, how could you even think that? If you understand the gospel, then you understand the opportunity that it provides to be set free from the sin that keeps us separated from God. And I want to reinforce that that's what sin is. Sin is not breaking one of God's 10 commandments. Sin is anything that separates us or removes us from God's plan or God's will for our lives. God wants us to step into a new life where we are connected with God, where we have purpose and where we have meaning. Baptism does not itself accomplish that. Baptism symbolizes what's happened on the inside. When we go under the water, we get buried with Christ, we die to self, and we come out of the water resurrected, ready to step into all that God has for us. We live now with Christ. We are no longer held back or hindered by anything. We are no longer fearful of death, because once we've died to our old selves, we've been born again, never to experience death again. You know, as I held baby Emmett yesterday in my arms, I was mindful of all of the development that's about to take place. Yesterday, he was connecting with his eyes and following me and watching me as I talked, or he would follow his mom's voice or his dad's voice or his grandpa's voice. And those little things are so exciting, but there's so much more to come. The use of hands, the ability to walk, so many exciting new things to take place. That's what happens with us when we're born again. We have all these exciting new opportunities to step into the new life that God has and intends for each one of us. When we think about baptism, we need to understand what it does for us. But it's just as important that we understand what baptism is for us. And that's equally, if not more important. Martin Luther taught this, that baptism was to be understood as a daily event, a renewal of forgiveness that we need and is ours every day of our lives. In other words, baptism wasn't something once done and now finished, but once done and now lived into. The music today is so spot on for this message. I want to thank Logan for allowing the Spirit to guide him throughout that selection process. And was it not absolutely amazing to see the band back with us here this morning? They make my heart happy. seeing these young adults use their gifts and their talents to glorify God is such a wonderful thing. But the words to those songs, death was arrested, amazing grace, my chains are gone, better is one day in your courts. I want you to think of death as that, something that's been arrested, just like a criminal. No authority any longer, no right, because it's locked up, held captive instead of holding captive. Grace, releasing the chains of sin that inhibit and hold back. Better is one day in your courts. And I have to ask, do you live in God's courts? Because most of us would reply, some days, but not all days. Some days we still wander out on our own, but can't we also testify that those days when we're aware of God's glory and presence that's evident, whether it's on a good day or a bad day, those days when we just know that God was involved in that experience, that God was a part of that moment, those moments that are sacred and holy and special and that nothing or no one can rob from your heart. They're incredible, wonderful moments. Maybe it's just me, but in spite of those experiences, in spite of those incredible God moments, I also have those moments when I question, God, is this working? Those times when change just seems so hard, so impossible, when we really just want to rely on grace and call it good. Just hope that God's efforts are enough, because becoming like Christ, can that even happen? It's all so confusing anyway. I mean, which is it? Is it grace or is it obedience that leads to transformation? I found this simple graphic that was so helpful to me. I hope that it will provide some clarity for you also, Ben. Oh, thank you. He's already got that up on screen. Bottom line is our sin that separates us from God. Line one that keeps us from line two. And again, I want to remind you that sin is anything that hinders or holds back or keeps you from living into the fullness that God has for us. Anything that robs you of purpose, of meaning, and of fullness of life. And our goal is that we live into the right living that God has for each of us. That's righteousness, that we live into the Creator's plan for our lives, that we're connected with the God of creation, and that leads to purpose, meaning, and fulfillment. And that happens through justification, that line that takes us from line one and line two. It's not a process. It's a position that is affected by God. God declares us righteous. God has set us free from sin by faith. People are lifted from line one to line two once and for all. We are lifted to the level of God's righteousness through the death of Jesus Christ. Our standing before Him is complete. It's perfect, because Christ has been made our righteousness. It's a gift. A gift of grace. The work has been accomplished through the work of God on the cross, the gift of grace. But God is not only concerned with the believer's status, God is also concerned with the believer's state or their actual condition. Once we've been justified, once we've accepted that gift of grace, the process of growth begins, and that process is slow and steady. Sanctification is used in Scripture as a word that also means position, marking our progress through our faith journey. Let me give you an example. Paul describes Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians 1:2 as sanctified, meaning that they are becoming holy. But that's odd, because at the same time he's describing their unholy state, listing this whole list of shortcomings, faults, failures, and flaws. 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul says this: you were washed, You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Sanctification is mentioned here first, but before justification. But Paul's point is not an order of the process. Paul's point is that both are a part of God's processes. Both are a part of God's plan from the very beginning. Sanctification is a big theological word that just means improvement in the manner of life. It's a process that depends on and follows justification or the receiving of grace. We receive God's grace and then we begin this process of becoming Christ-like. Sonny is a modern-day example of that. Sonny was saved the moment he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, but the process of being set free from the addiction of alcoholism took place over a course of time. We all have our faults, our flaws, our failures, our shortcomings. The process of life takes us from this point to that point and is intended to make us look like the Christ that saved us. Sanctification, it concludes when our sinful nature has been left behind and when our lives are fully conformed and Christ-like. And the reality is that occurs at death. If you've ever sat next to or held the hand of somebody who was transitioning from this life to the next, you know that process speeds up really quick. They let go of all of the things that have hindered and held back, and they become more Christ-like in that process. That occurs at death or at the return of Christ for those who are still alive at that time, but it occurs for all. I hope it's evident that God has a plan not only for dealing with the power of sin, but also with dealing with the guilt that sin brings on. We've died to sin. And Paul says, how can we live in it any longer? Notice that he does not say that sin is dead to Christians. Paul emphasizes the impossibility of a Christian continuing in a life dominated by sin. Death to sin, it's not something that we hope for somewhere down the road. It's something that has already taken place, and we learn to believe, accept, and fully live and walk in. Scripture says that we are baptized into Jesus Christ. And what is being described is a spiritual reality, something that's already happened, something that our physical has to catch up with, our spiritual. One of the most important realities that actually exist. It's not merely a ceremony. It's not something that happened. It's not even really just a sacrament. It's not a moment in time. It's more than just a moment set aside in time to accomplish God's purpose. It's every moment of every day that we spend trying to live into the fullness of that purpose. Baptism, as I said, is physical evidence of what's already happened on the inside. When we become one with Christ, recognizing the leadership of Christ and our dependence on Christ. May baptism truly be more for each and every one of us than a one-time experience that we are never mindful of it again. May it be something that we live into each and every day, living into forgiveness, adoption, and the fullness of life that happens through grace, justification, realized through the process of living in daily obedience or sanctification. God's grace is a gift offered to all. Have you received that gift? Have you stepped into the waters of baptism, the physical mark of the work that happened on the inside when you made that decision? If not, we invite you to have that or share that experience with us. We also invite you at this time, if you are looking for a community of faith to grow into the understanding of grace, that sanctification process, it's so easier to do alongside a community than on your own. We invite you to join with us, and as always, an invitation to all. If you were baptized, I have to ask you, are you walking still in that daily, intent on allowing God to shape and mold you into everything that you were created and purposed for? Use this time to examine your hearts and be guided by the Spirit wherever you are led. Allow the words of this next song to become the truth of your life. We are no longer slaves.